Praise God. All right, let's just pray. We're going to watch a clip in a minute, but let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've been with us, Lord, and your presence, Lord, is so strong and so tangible with us even now, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives and our hearts, Father. Already, Lord, you're bringing things under our feet, Lord, and we just stand in the authority of the risen Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Father, as we open your word, we just pray, Lord, that you speak to us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just turn our attention, just watch this little clip for a minute. Introduces a passage for this morning from Matthew chapter 7. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, it will come up on the screen. I want to talk about the narrow road that the Lord wants us to work on going through the narrow gate. And so we'll just read that together from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. Just before we get onto that, just this particular passage of Matthew 7, you'll know some of the things in that. The very beginning part of the passage of Matthew 7 is where Jesus talks about not judging people, saying, hang on, before you start looking at other people, you get rid of the plank that's in your eye before you worry about the speck that's in your brother's eye. And so he talks about that. He talks about that if we ask anything of the Lord in his name, that we can pray and we can ask. Anyone who asks in his name, they will receive it. And so he goes, that's the lead into this particular passage. And so verse 13 and 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate. And so this is an invitation that the Lord is extending. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So I want to talk about these two roads and gates or roads, both of these used in this, that there's one that's very wide and one that is very narrow. And it says that the very narrow one, very few people find, but the broad one, everyone is on that road. And I really want to look at the road that we're on, what road we're on today, what road are we walking on? And because some of us say, well, I'm automatically on that narrow road because I prayed a prayer. But it's more than praying a prayer. We'll find if we read a little bit later, if you read further on in Matthew 7, it's more than just praying a prayer. It's actually walking the walk, living the life. It's doing the will of the Father, which makes sure that we are the ones that are going through that narrow gate. And so I want to talk about this today, about this narrow door or this narrow road and that we can enter to Jesus Christ. And we have a look in society at the moment. We see that there's a lot of people ploughing down this road, which we know that leads to destruction. And what saddens me is I find that a lot of Christians get caught up along that rush of the crowd there. We have at the moment in our society a lot of pressure, this whole thing about gay marriage. And it saddens me when I see people who profess to be Christians, who even some ministers who profess to be Christians, that make a stand and say, I'm for that. I believe in gay marriage. Because I just see that they're actually just getting swept up in that road that society says. We have a big challenge at the moment, and it's a continuing one, with the so-called Safe Schools Coalition, which is anything but safe. And there's actually links there to websites, to gay websites, sex websites. This is what children, our children, are getting linked up to. If it was a minister doing that or a Catholic priest doing that, they would be crying up and down. But our educators are somehow allowed to expose our children to those things. And I praise God there are some people that rise up. There was a school teacher who made a stand a couple of weeks ago in the Herald Sun. She was standing up saying, I'm not teaching this rubbish. I'd rather get sacked than teach this nonsense to children. And I'm grateful for those that actually do stand up. But I'm saddened that when people get caught up in all of that, and even the whole thing of, you know, transgenderism and children finding their identity and not knowing they can choose whether they're a boy or a girl, that rubbish that our kids are subjected to. But even I read something from a Christian teacher who was proud that her school was, you know, embracing this six-year-old who was a boy, decided he wanted to be a girl and was proud of the school. A Christian teacher was saying that. And that just grieves my heart, because I just see that's just the world getting swept up in all of those things, which the American actually psychiatric society actually says that gender dysphoria actually says that is a severe mental condition and it needs to be treated. The Society of Pediatricians or Association, I can't remember the exact terminology of that group, they actually say that any parents that are supporting their children or that are actually abusing their children, they're calling it child abuse, which is interesting. Yet in Australia, in our society, we're all just getting caught up in all of this destructive stuff, and we all know where it comes from. And as Christians, we've got to be very careful that we don't get caught up in the groundswell of populism and the popular thought, and that we end up going down the same road as the world is travelling. And it's you know, people want to be, oh, we want to be relevant and contemporary. Yes, we want to, but we want to stand on the Word of God, and we don't want to compromise what the Word of God says. We love people. We reach out to them irrespective of whatever their struggle is. And that we want them to come into the loving and saving grace of Jesus Christ. But we don't compromise and get swept up in the world. And so what happens is that most people, in the world, most people who even aren't unbelievers, have said this before, are good, genuine, decent people. And that they love their kids and they work hard at their jobs. And, you know, they're just good, decent people. But they don't realise that they're actually just caught up and in the flow. And what happens is that people follow their instinct, the basic human instincts, which we know has been corrupted by the taint of sin because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, the sin that started, there's that tainted nature. And then as creatures following brute instinct, they follow that, and people just blindly on a path to oblivion, and they don't even realize what's happening to them. Just want to show you this little clip. This is a clip from a few years ago. Many years ago, a few decades ago, from the National Geographic. It's a shot on lemmings. Have anyone ever heard of lemmings before? You've probably heard of lemmings, not lamingtons, but lemmings. These little creatures. Let's just watch this little clip about these interesting little creatures.
They reach the final precipice. This is the last chance to turn back. Yet over they go, casting themselves bodily out into space. Survive the ordeal, for now they begin to swim. Not toward land, strangely, but away from shore, toward the far horizon. Others find the beaches by roundabout ways, and they too plunge into the waves. It's not given to man to understand all of nature's mysteries, but as nearly as he can surmise, it would appear that the lemmings consider this body of water just another lake. And if it's a lake, then it must have a farther shore. And so they strike out boldly. But gradually, strength wanes. Determination ebbs away. And soon the Arctic Sea is dotted with tiny bobbing bodies.
That's pretty sad seeing that, isn't it? Seeing the lemmings you know, there's a bit of a myth that lemmings actually go and they all commit suicide. They're not actually trying to do that. The lemmings is part of that. What happens is they have like a four-year span where in an area, within 4 years, they just breed and the whole thing becomes overpopulated. So a whole bunch of them then try to migrate out and they come down. They're actually good swimmers. They can swim a couple hundred metres. But what happens is that they overstretch themselves, and all of them, they just follow blindly over. And so they have this instinct that drives them. And so one goes and another goes, and they're all going, all plunging over, and eventually that they all end up in destruction. Now, when we look at people that are around us, now, people aren't little furry animals that are cute, but people that are actually dying who don't know Jesus Christ, the ones that Jesus died for, that have been made in the very image of God, and yet following the same brute instincts that are within them, just blindly living their lives, oblivious to the things of God, and just caught up in the just doing what everyone does in this crowd, this throng of society, and eventually it ends up in only one place of destruction. And that should grieve our hearts. Some of you would be distressed of seeing those little cute little furry things that died. It is distressing to see that. Unfortunately, some distressing things happen in the animal kingdom. But how much more distressing is it when there's people that are around us that are all on this broad road? And it says there's many on that. By far the majority, most people are caught up on this road, and they're walking along and they're just doing life. They're going to getting up in the morning, and they're going to work, and they're doing stuff, and they're doing all these things, and they're maybe taking the kids to ballet, and they're doing all these things. And decent people, not even serial murderers and all rapists or whatever else, but because they don't know Jesus Christ, they're just following the instincts, and they get caught up in the ways of the world and the things of the world and the values of the world, and there's only one fate, and then we know where they end up. And surely that's got to stir something within our own heart and in our own spirit. Because Jesus is saying, guys, you don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to be caught up in the ways of the world. You can be different from that. There is actually hope for you. It says in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't just follow the crowd off into oblivion. Don't get caught up into the worldly values or the worldly mindset or the ways of the world. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So something needs to change in someone's heart. Otherwise, they just blindly walk along that path to oblivion. And we as believers, we need to make sure that we don't suddenly get caught into that and sucked into the ways of the world. And then we begin to follow along blindly as well in walking outside of what God has and into the pattern of the world. Don't follow those base instincts, but to be ones that have our heart right and our minds changed by the things of God. 1 Peter 1:14, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And so we've got to make sure that we don't get caught up in the ways of the world. And people do get caught up in the ways of the world, and it's very sad when people that have given their life to Christ and yet somehow they begin to compromise, and then they begin to think, oh, look, it doesn't really matter. It's and begin to suddenly find that they're actually not a lot different from the world at all. In fact, even their thinking isn't a lot different from the world, and their values become tainted and become corrupted, and not even really following after the things of God, but just following what everyone else does and just becoming like the world. And yet we are the called out ones. We are the ecclesia. We're the body of Christ. We're called out, and we are to be different from the world. And we're not to live like the world. And obviously, we've got to live, we've got to eat, everyone has to live, everyone eat, and yeah, you have a job, but does that become your value? Does everything focus around what everything of the world does? Does that take over our life? We have to be really, really careful. It says that this road, it's a broad road, and it's basically the easy road. It's really the road of least resistance. It's the line of least resistance. And in life, for a lot of people, when it comes down to making tough choices, making the choice for righteousness or the choice for compromise, the easy choice, the easy road is always the broad road. The easy choice is always this road, the way the world wants. And some people will compromise because it actually takes courage to make a stand. It actually takes conviction to actually stand in the promises of God and all that God has for us. It takes courage to stand in our convictions. And yet, this road is an easy road. This is the road of compromise. It's easy street. It's just do what you feel like, what you feel like. Whatever's coming, just take it. And whatever's going on, I'll just be a part of that. It's about satisfying ourselves. It's about our own desires, our own wants, and everything's about me. And the most important person in the world is me. And I just want to fill every need and every desire for myself. And it's all about me. It's all about living for myself and trying to have a... it's the road that doesn't lead where we want to be going. And so we've got to make sure that firstly, as believers, that we keep our feet on the right path and that we don't get swept up in that. Actually, it's interesting in the Living Bible, in this scripture, it talks about this as being the highway to hell. And there is a lot of people that you know that are on a highway to hell, and they don't even realize that. They're just oblivious. They're just following the crowd. They're just doing this. Isn't this what life's about? Isn't this just what you do? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not hurting anyone, am I? I haven't killed anybody. And yet they're somehow all caught up in this mess going there. And before we start worrying about them, we've always got to make sure that we've actually on the right road, that we're walking in that right way. Matthew 7, in the Message, it says it this way. It says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. And so people that say a little prayer and then think, now I'm just going to, I've done it now, I can notch it off, and then I'm just going to live like the rest of the throng. I really, really worry and grieve for those people that think that's all they ever have to do. We've got to do more than just say a prayer. Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and get people to say a little prayer. He said, go into all the world and make people disciples, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, far more than a mere ascent, a mental ascent and whatever. But then I'm just going to live like everyone else and be like everyone else, and my values, everything's the same from that. We want us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be someone that is saved, is be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants us to walk in such a way. And when it talks about the gate being a small gate that we can enter in, so wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is this road that leads to salvation, and narrow is the gate. So it says, in what we read in the NIV, it says, enter through the narrow gate, it says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And it says that the word small, when it's talking about getting to the things of God and getting into the kingdom of God, I will maybe put this right out here, getting into the things of God there, it says it's small. And that word there, stenos, it actually means to groan. It means groaning is what it means. And really what it's getting to there, it means that it's living a life counter to natural inclinations. And so it really is going against the flow of my instinct, because my instinct is to be like everyone else. I want to sleep in Sunday mornings. I'd love to go, you know, let's go do this and that and whatever else, if you let flesh live your life. But we're not like that. We actually go against the natural inclination, and the inclination is to discipline ourselves and to be a disciplined disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and to walk his way, to go his way, to go his road. And so something is different. It's counter to what our natural inclination is to walk in. And so this tells us in Matthew, Luke 13:24, it says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter it and not be able to. And so it's not easy street. We think that once I became a Christian, then everything's going to be fine, and I just have to now coast through life and everything is fine. It's not. We need to make every effort. Your salvation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he did it for us. He did what we couldn't do. We could not make ourselves holy and righteous. Only Jesus could do that. Only the cross could lead us to our Father in heaven. Only he could deal with our sin. But once we come to that place, then it's on us to make sure that we stay on track, that we make every effort to make sure that I'm on this path and I'm not drifting into the other path. That depends on me. Jesus has done what he's required to do. He died on the cross. He made the way. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit within our life to help us to stay on that course. But we're going to make sure that we stay on that road, making every effort to do that. When it talks about a narrow road, And the picture of what it really is like, if you just imagine like a big couple of mountains there and then compressed down in between there is like through a little mountain, through a little gorge, there's this little narrow path through there. And so it's not the straight, easy road that some people think it is. It's actually, that's the image. It's like you've got big mountains of obstacles there, and then there's this road, that narrow road that goes through that. And the word there where it talks about narrow, it means... Phlebo, it means compressed or contracted, to be hemmed in. And if the life that we want to walk in and the life of Christ that he wants us to walk in as a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is compressed, it's contracted, it's a focused life. And it has to be the focus of our life. It's not something that you did 20 years ago and then I just followed blindly the crowd there and somehow think that I've done enough. It's more than that. Scripture talks about working out our salvation. We're not earning it. You can never earn it. It's given to us. But whether we walk in that or not is on us. He gave it to us whether you live like what he's already given you. He says that you are righteous. I've made you righteous. Now go ahead and live like that. And so that's on us. It's up to us to do that, to live that life, to have a focused life. That the most important thing is the Lord in our life. Now, we did a survey last week. Now, I don't know what you put in there, but I would guess that most, if not all of us who know Jesus Christ would have said, oh, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. I'm guessing that. I'm assuming that's what we did. But is that really the reality of our life? Is most of our week is just... And then on Sunday, I'll run back here somewhere in the middle and sing a few songs, and then I'll go back and I don't pray and I don't think of anything else and I'm not really conscious of the kingdom of God. And then Sunday comes and I'll run back here, but I'm not actually walking the road that the Lord wants for me. It's not the focus of my life. It's not really the passion of my life. It's not really the attention of my life. I'm not really walking that narrow road of obedience and of discipleship and following after the Lord. What is our life like? Are we focused on the things of God? That narrow road. And the other thing about this, even the New Living Translation, when it talks about this particular scripture, it says the road which leads to life, it's a narrow road. It actually has the word difficult in there as well. The difficult road. You got easy street to oblivion, or you have the difficult road. Now, Christ has given us our salvation, but the road we walk, and they get the word difficult because the word there means to be pressed upon, even like crushing grapes. And so there's a pressing and there's a pressure on you as you walk this road because there's decisions to be made. There's choices to be made. There's sacrifices to be made. There's surrender to be had. There's a yielding to live in our life as I walk this way. Again, sometimes what I really want to do myself for my own benefit, for my own natural inclination. Because it's easy, easy street's easy. Who wants easy street? Everyone wants easy street. But Jesus, it's interesting, you know, Jesus is telling people about the kingdom of God. And he's not saying, come to me and all your problems are going to go away. He doesn't actually say that. And yet how many people preach the gospel to others and say, come to Jesus, all your problems will be solved. No, actually, you're going to live a road of challenge and temptation. And because when you walk in this way, who cares about temptation? Feels good, do it. It's not a struggle. I just do it because I just run with it. Over here, when temptations come my way, I've got a choice to make. Now, I'm not doing it in my own strength because otherwise I'm always going to fall down that way. No, but when I face temptations is because I've got the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I'm actually empowered to make the choice. And whether I fall or not is really my choice. I don't have the excuse, oh, well, it was just, you know. No, I don't have that excuse. I'm walking this way. I'm making a conscious choice on what I'm going to do. Am I going to go God's way, or am I going to go what God wants, or am I going to go the world's way? And so there's choices that you have to make. There's choices you make every day to walk the path of righteousness, to walk the way that God has. And yet the people over here, they don't have to make any choice. Just feels good, do it whatever I like, do whenever I want. Easy come, easy go, do what you like, no problems. Here I've got to focus and I'm living my life for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus wasn't offering them the easy street. He was saying, this is the narrow road, and there's going to be challenges that you're going to face along that road. And see, some people, when they become Christians, if someone told them about the things of God and just said, look, give your life to God, all your problems are solved, and the first time they have a problem, they think, hang on a minute, I've been sold a dud here. Somebody lied to me. They said once I became a Christian, I'm never going to have any problems, everything will be solved, everything. Now, all our burdens are lifted off us. Our sin is dealt with. Hope rises when there's no hope. Meaning comes when there's no meaning. But it's not just easy street from then. It's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I need to put one foot after the other as I'm walking my life on the journey before me, focused on the Lord, focused on the kingdom of God. And I'm going to meet many, many challenges along the way. Devil doesn't have to worry about tempting, you know, he'll play with his playthings, people who don't know him. They belong to him and he'll just do what he likes with them. But he'll strategically try to have a go at you, try to turn you away. And so you have to stand strong in the things of God and make the right choices every day. We have to do that. We have to walk and we have to live in that. In 1 Peter 4:12, it won't come up on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It says this: dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. Some people think, oh no, I'm going through a hard time. God, you've abandoned me. Lord, Lord, where are you in my circumstance? No. Lord says, I am right with you. But don't be surprised, because this is the narrow road. This is the difficult road. This is going to have to make choices. You're going to have to live this life. And Jesus just doesn't save us and say, well, get on your way. He actually will walk with us. And through every obstacle and for every pressure and for every circumstance that comes against us, he will walk with us. And we can even lean on him. He'll help us through that. He'll help us through that walk. But don't be surprised if you've got things happening in your life and think, when I thought I became a Christian, all my problems were solved. If somebody told you that, they told you the wrong thing. Your eternal problem is solved in that you've given your life to Christ and our salvation is through Jesus Christ. But the living and walking that road is going to be a daily walk, and there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be temptations. And that's why we want to be sharp in the things of God. That's why we want to be prayed up in the things of God. That's why we want to have close relationship. Because if you don't have that and stuff isn't happening in your life the way you think, your immediate thought is, God, you've left me. God, you've abandoned me. God, you've let me down. He hasn't. He's with you. But that's why he wants us to keep walking with him, because this is the narrow road. It's the pressing road, the challenging road that we face. Now, it's interesting, when the people came to Jesus in the Gospels, when someone comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, because he knows the heart, he says, well, birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he was saying, this is not the easy road if you follow me. I'm not going to be staying in, you know, five-star hotel luxury combination. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be challenges along the way. You're going to have to work through stuff. You're going to have to get through stuff. I'm not going to leave you on your own. He said that. He said, I'm not going to make you live your life on your own. I'm sending the Comforter, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you and walk, and so that you're going to be able to stay that course that you have. But just remember that this road is a road of challenge that we face. And so don't realm people want to be, as I said, straddle the two roads. You know, there's the broad, I want to be worldly, but also, yeah, I want to have my foot over here. I tell you what, I'm not going to do this, but it's having a lot of pain. But some people do that. And in fact, I remember seeing, it was a year or two ago, where someone was in the city and they were not sure which way they were going to go. And so they, you know, had the thing dividing the road. And they went straight up in the middle, and the car's standing there. Because they didn't know, they were indecisive. They'll go this way or that way. So they went in the middle, ended up the car sort of standing up like this. And we can't live our life like that. We've got to have a focused life who's focused on the kingdom of God. And yep, there will be challenges, because Jesus said that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And we've been singing that, you have overcome the world. So he said, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome. And if we walk with him, we will get through on the narrow road. The temptation for people, though, is, I just want an easy street. And if you read further on in Matthew 7, we're not going to do it here, but I'll just tell you what it says. Matthew 7 is, from verse 21, is to me the most horrifying part of the Bible, terrifying part of the Bible for people. Because Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, hang on, I said a little prayer, but then I went like this, but I said a little prayer. He says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he that does the will of my Father. So you ask Jesus into your life, but then I'm going to do the will of my Father. I'm going to walk this road, and there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be sacrifices, and there's going to be things, but the Lord's always with me, so I know I will get through. And I'm going to walk this disciplined life, and I'm going to enter in through the narrow gate and into eternity, into life, everlasting life in Jesus Christ. But it says many in that, in verse 21, for 21, 22. You read that later on, you can read it yourself. It says many, not just some, not a couple of ones are going to be really surprised and think, oh, gee whiz, I thought I was on this road. It says many. And I read that and I'm grieved by that. It's because it goes on and says, it says, Lord, Lord, we actually, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And the Lord says, depart from me, you evil doer. I don't even know you. Wow. Yeah, these are ones who are calling Lord, Lord. And that's, to me, a very sobering scripture. Because it's so easy to get caught up and live like the rest of the world. You gamble like the rest of the world does. You sin like the rest of the world does. You do all the stuff that the world does. And we have every excuse. Oh, I couldn't. I'm struggling. I'm this and that. And when we get on, we're off the track. We're going down a road and say, oh, I prayed a little prayer so I can just do what I like. No, we can't. In fact, if that prayer is a sincere prayer, if we've given our heart to Jesus Christ, if we truly surrendered our life to Christ, then we're going to be focused and we're going to stick on this road. Whatever the pressure is, it's a narrow road, it's a hemmed in road, and there's pressures and there's things, but I'm going to keep on that because I made a decision. I made a choice. I said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do the will of the Father. I'm giving my life to him, and I'm going to keep on that road. And that's the kind of determination that the Lord looks for within our own hearts. And that's something that I really want to challenge us on. Because, you know, imagine that we're in eternity. And I'm praying, I want to keep walking this way. I want to be focused. I want to come through there. And if I'm in eternity and I'm here, and you know, we get to Matthew 7, 21 and 22, and there's some people here that I knew that are saying, Lord, 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 Lord. We knew, you know, we prophesied, and the Lord says, man, I could not imagine what that would be like. And so as a pastor, I want to say these things now because I don't want that to apply to any of us here. I don't want any of us to go down the road of compromise, the broad, easy street, just going with the flow, just da-da-da-da-da into oblivion, that we are focused, that we are full-on disciples for Jesus Christ. That's my heart, is that we're genuine and we're real in that. And yes, we're going to work through some stuff, and there's some stuff that you're going to follow that have to go through that you probably wouldn't even face if you weren't a Christian. As I said, there's temptations that aren't even really temptations. You just do it in the world. But here, you actually got to work through that. You're being enticed this way. Something to tell you that, I'm going to be focused. I have a focused life. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord, and I'm going to take every step, and I'm going to come through that narrow gate. I'm going to come into the things of eternity. And so my encouragement to us, all of us that are here, is to enter in that narrow door. Enter through the narrow gate. Jesus is inviting us. He's saying, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like the rest of the world. You can actually end up in destruction like those poor lemmings that drowned. But look, you can come into the promised land, into every promise, everything that God has for you, the wonderful blessings of eternal kingdom, and also even for this life too. And so even though we will go through difficulties, there's going to be moments of great triumph as well. There'll be struggle, but there'll be great times of triumph, great times of breakthrough, great times of joy and release, and just knowing the love of God poured upon us. Not all trial, not all ordeal, but we will have them. And we just know not to get discouraged when we go through those things, because we know I'm just on a journey. And even if I don't see the very thing that I wanted in this life, I know that in eternity, thank you, Lord. Praise God. And we have that wonderful blessing, that wonderful promise in the things of God. But it tells us something else about this narrow door, this narrow road and the narrow door. It says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few. Only a few. And so not many people will just find the door. You know, we hear wonderful stories about Middle Eastern countries where many, many Muslims are getting saved because Christ has appeared to them in a vision. It's happening. Many, many people are finding Christ in that way. But only a few are really going to happen. That doesn't happen to everybody that way. Some people the Lord has appeared to in a dream and they realize that this is Jesus, and the devout Muslim becomes a devout Christian immediately when they realize the truth about Jesus Christ and who he is. But there's a lot of people that are just going through life, and as I said, good, decent people in the sense that they're not killing anybody and they're not doing, they're just doing the stuff of life and just blindly, robotically walking through life and just going onward until they get to the point of oblivion. And how would we be if we actually saw that? Let's just say, for example, that you the Westgate Bridge, you know, it collapsed. Half the bridge is gone. Now, they obviously had a collapse many years ago when they were building that. And the bridge is out. And there's all these people getting on the road and they're all driving and nobody knows. And they're all just driving, one car after another, one after another. The cars are just going off the bridge and off they all they go there. Now, you're standing up the other end and you know that bridge is out. You know that if you just keep going that way, there's going to be destruction and death upon your life. And how would you be? You know, let's say you're a policeman. Let's say you're a traffic policeman. And you're a traffic policeman and you're here at the beginning before they even get onto the bridge, even onto the entrance there. And you're a traffic policeman. So your job as a traffic policeman is to direct the traffic, is to help people go the right way. But just imagine a traffic policeman who just sat there and he's just watching the cricket, because the cricket's on and Australia's losing. And he's a South African, so he's happy, you know. And but car after car goes zoom, 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 and they're all going over the edge. What kind of a policeman is that? What kind of a traffic policeman is that? Yet you know that Jesus has called every one of us to be like that traffic policeman. Every one of us has been given the job. He's given us the message of reconciliation. He's appointed us as his ambassadors. He says, you're the traffic cops, guys. You're the one who has that job of stopping people just blindly going off there. And we can make excuses, say, oh, look, sorry, I was busy. You know, look, I just had to cook my lunch. You know, I was hungry. I hadn't eaten for a couple of hours and just got to go microwave my lunch. I'll be back in a little while. And so we're off here satisfying our own needs and doing all of this and zoom, 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 cars going. And then you go back there and then, oh, did I miss anything? How many people have gone? How many cars? And so we've got a job to divert people from going down that road to destruction. And it's our job is to lead them in God's way and lead them to that. It says only a few find it. They're not going to find it. They're not going to just necessarily stumble around it. Some of us are praying, Lord, I just pray. Lord, just let them find you, Father. Let them find you. And we're standing here and we're saying, Lord, just stop them, Lord. Lord, do something to stop them. We're standing there, we're praying, and they walk past us. And we're still standing there. Lord, just stop them. Please stop them. Lord, please stop them. And the Lord's saying, hang on, man, you're the cop. You're the traffic policeman. Stop them. Get in front of them. Tell them, hang on, that you're going the wrong way. If you go this way, you're going to go into oblivion. He's given us that job. It's not our job just to pray, Lord, do something. And we need to pray. We need to pray for opportunity. We need to pray for open eyes. We need to pray to be alert to intervene. But he's put you there. You're the traffic cop. And how many do we just blindly let go past us? Because we're microwaving our lunch and we're doing this and I'm caught up. Sorry, a bit busy at the moment. You know, oh, look, sorry, yeah, a bit tired, a bit under pressure. Da-da-da, and zoom, 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 zoom. Lord wants us to show people the way. That's what he's called us to do. And remember, Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the gate. John 10:9, he said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And so if you think, oh, I don't know how to direct them. Well, you do. You just direct them to Jesus. You say, this way that you're living your life without Christ, is it going to end up in a lot of heartache, eternal heartache? But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, come to him, come to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the gate. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. And so we want to direct people to Jesus Christ. We say, going to Jesus. And they're not going to find it. Some people just blindly thinking, maybe they'll realize. Well, they're traveling too fast. You know, life is really fast, isn't it? And we all testify to that. You just feel like you're running from one thing to another. Life is so, so busy. And if life is busy for you, well, it's certainly busy for everyone else. Everybody's busy. I've never anyone say to me, oh, look, I'm not busy. I've got nothing to do. Because if they've got nothing to do, they'll find something to do. There's always something to do. We're going to always be busy. And so out of their busyness, the chances of them accidentally stumbling on the right path are very, very slim. Now, we pray for people that are even on their deathbed, that in their last breath, that somehow in that moment, Lord, that they will suddenly turn their heart to Jesus. And I'm sure that that does happen. I'm sure there are a few that will actually happen for. And if we've lost a loved one, then we hold to that hope that, well, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they're one of the ones, one of the few in that last moment, because they're just about to go off to the precipice. But somehow in that last heartbeat and breath, they cry out to the Lord. And they turn around, they come to Jesus, and then they walk through into eternity. It does happen to a few. But I wouldn't want to be one, you know, this policeman, they're going, oh, well, gee, I hope they have to put their brakes on before they go over the edge. Oh, there goes, oh, he didn't. Oh, he did not. Oh, you know, whoa, hang on. Well, where you're going is going to be destructive. And I pray that God stirs within our heart. Our theme this year has been the invitation. And I don't want to finish this theme that we've had over this year and last year, and we're all still there just microwaving our lunches and people are still going off over the bridge, that we'll have a desire within our heart and say, Lord, yeah, look, I'm sorry. Lord, I really want to be on the ball. I want to show them the way because they're not going to find it without me. They're not going to find it without you. There's people in your life that you have been positioned on because God called you and he saved you and you've got family members, you've got workmates, you've got friends, you've got schoolmates, you've got people that you know, you've got neighbours, people all around us, and he's the one who stationed us there. And so we want to say, hang on, look, you go that way. Now we're going to do that sensibly and with wisdom, as the scripture says, with gentleness and respect. So I'm not going to jump out in front of the semi-trailer and say, stop, boom, gone. So I'm going to be strategic about it, and I'm going to get to them. I'm not going to wait until they're just about to go over the edge. I'm actually going to get them. So to slow down a bit. Hey, just slow down, buddy. So just slow down a little bit, and then begin to talk to them. And so, see, sometimes people we share with someone, and they don't immediately screech on their brakes and turn around to go the other way, so we stop. Sometimes it just needs us to say the word. We might be the slow down a bit, buddy, as you tell them about what Jesus has done in your life, as you share your testimony, how Jesus is what he's done within you. That might be just enough for someone who's full pace just to slow down a little bit. And maybe there's another person in their life that because you slowed them down, now they've got the opportunity now to divert them. And so don't be discouraged if you hang on, they didn't stop and turn around when I spoke to them. Well, maybe you didn't have to do that. Maybe it was enough that you slowed them down. But someone needs to say, hey, go the right way. And I pray and trust that we do that. Let's show them the way. And the scripture tells, for all of us who walk this road, who actually discipline ourselves. Yeah, we're concerned about other people. Okay, it's not all about, oh, I'm my own salvation and I'm happy for eternity. No, I'm actually wanting people to be saved. But there's a wonderful blessing for us as we come through Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're going to walk through this. But as we enter into eternity, wow, it's the beginning of life as true life is, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, as we enter eternity when we become a Christian, but the joy of reigning and ruling with Jesus and eternity beyond our imagination, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. And the scripture tells us, it says here in Revelation chapter 22, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. How do you wash your robes? Well, we're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've mucked it up, Lord. I'm just feeding myself. I'm just satisfying myself. I'm not interested in anyone. I'm just filling my life with everything but you. And I'm allowed sin to be the thing that drives me. And say, Lord, I just ask your forgiveness. And I accept that you died on the cross for me, that the blood that you shed was to wash away my sin. And Lord, I accept that you died in my place for my sin, Lord, that your blood washed me away. And that I can have eternal life. I can come into fellowship with my Father in heaven, but also have the promise of eternal life. It said, blessed are those who wash their robes. They may have the right to the tree of life and may go through to the gates into the city. And that's the eternal city. That's into eternity with the Lord. And so if we say, yes, I'm not going to be just take easy street and just be like everyone else in the world. I come on Sunday morning and I'll straddle a little bit and even lift my hands a bit, but then I'll just go back the rest of it when I'm home. I say, no, I'm going to live this life. And I'm not going to be one that calls out, Lord, Lord, you know, I said the prayer. And he says, no, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father. And so that's taking one step after another. It's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be stress. There's going to be temptations. But I'm going to go through with the Lord with me. And I'm going to go come through. Yep. And there's times of victory, times of triumph, another challenge. But I'll come through that. And I'm going to keep walking into that path the Lord has for me. And the Lord will then turn one day and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master, the joy and happiness. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us this morning. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never given your life, you've never actually made the conscious choice and said, hang on, I'm on the wrong road. I want to follow the road of Jesus. I want to follow the road of eternal life. I want to follow the road that leads me into eternity, into the things of God. If that's you this morning, I'd love you to come forward. What we do is we invite people forward for prayer. And as people come for prayer, if that's you, you want to give your life to Jesus, you come and say, yeah, I want to get on that narrow road. I want to go God's way. I want to go Jesus' way. I want eternal life. I don't want to go off into oblivion. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you. And if you're looking at your own life and you think, wow, I really have got caught up in a lot of worldly stuff in my life. If you want to deal with that today, it's a good day to deal with those things. But also, every one of us, see yourself. You're that traffic policeman at the end of the bridge, and well, before they even get on the bridge, and you can divert them. And my prayer is that we're going to turn people to Christ and away from destruction. So, Father, as we stand here, Father, first of all, for every one of us who have given our life to Jesus Christ, Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, it's not because of our own piety, our own self-righteousness, not because of our own good deeds, it's not because of anything else, but the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that we have eternal life. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you equip us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can walk the walk, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, and to walk the walk, Lord, along that narrow road. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us the capacity to say no to temptation, even as your word says, the Spirit within us teaches us to say no to temptation, Lord, and we can say no. We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to compromise. Lord, we can walk your way. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, if anyone's struggling with areas, Lord, that this will be a day, Lord, we're dealing with those things. And Father, that path will be well trodden, Lord, by each of us, Lord. Even though it's a few find it, Lord, we find it. And Lord, we walk on that road, Father. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that is here, Lord, is that we will see us how critical we are. Lord, that the cars of people go whizzing by and we can be oblivious to that, Father. Lord, if we're asleep on the job, Lord, wake us up. Father, we're off cooking our lunch or whatever else we're doing to satisfy ourselves, Father, and we're missing the point. We're missing the heart, Lord, of you inviting people into your kingdom, Lord. We're not doing what you've called us to do, Father. I pray that you stir us up, you wake us up, Lord, that there will be just a passion in our hearts. I'm not letting any more cars pass, not letting any more through. I'm going to say something. I'm not just going to hope that somewhere someone else will, Lord. I'm going to stand, Father. I pray, Lord, that you push that determination in each of our hearts this day, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Stir us, Father. Change us, Lord, and let us have such a heart, Lord, to be the people that you've made us to be, Lord. We want to grow, and we want to be everything you've made us to be, Lord, and this is what you made us to be. And so, Father, we want to walk in that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want